This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Monday the 26th. My gosh, last week in January.
That is crazy that we have literally made it almost through January 2026 already.
Right? This weekend it's going to be February. February, the month of love.
Right.
Anyway, we'll talk about whatever. I am always like, I don't need anything for Valentine's Day.
No.
Do I, though? Is that a lie?
Maybe it's just wine and chocolate.
Maybe. Well, someone who can probably handle all those needs for you, we're going to welcome to the show real quick, Yuri Chira, who is with Chira's Restaurants. And Hunter, you got Yuri in the studio, and we got another ticket giveaway winner.
Yeah, the Ducks play UCLA in men's basketball this Wednesday. I believe it's a 5 p.m. start time at Matthew Knight Arena. And Chira's Restaurant has been doing some giveaways of basketball tickets. And Yuri's got a winner for this week.
Yeah, woo! Happy Monday to you. I hope you're powering through it. And we got a winner. Thank you, everybody that came out to cheer us for the raffle. And our winner is Tom. Tom, we're going to be giving you a call and giving you tickets for two this Wednesday for Ducks basketball in UCLA at the Knight Arena. Let's go.
Yeah, we had a winner last week who had a blast.
Robin had a blast. She said she had great seats,
oh, cool.
Great time, great game. So I'm excited for this one as well. And Tom, congratulations. You get to be our lucky winner for Dinette Chira's. Appreciate you.
All right, and Yuri, are you wanting to announce some of your own little news here, right here on the radio?
Yeah, Chira's has been busy. We got a new addition to the family, a little Jubilee, and excited. So, you know, baby number 5, and we just keep him going for you.
I love it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's wonderful news.
We got live jazz this Saturday for you folks, so come on down and enjoy live music. Jazz band is back this Saturday starting at 6 p.m. Get ready for Valentine's Day, like you said. We got the wine and chocolates for you, and Tomahawks and specials will be open all day, so come on down and enjoy yourself and treat yourself and your other.
Okay, now I say I don't want anything but a tomahawk, wine, and chocolate. Hint.
Well, thank you so much, Salem.
Yep. Thank you, Yuri.
And this is Tom on the winner.
All right.
We'll call in a minute.
Perfect.
All right, Yuri. Great to see you.
CheerusRestaurant.com.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say how exciting. Another win. And, of course, those of you following sports probably are very aware that the Seattle Seahawks will be playing in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
Even
now.
I know that. I have my sisters live up in Olympia, and they are like uber glued to the TV Seahawks fans. They are ecstatic. So is it the Seahawks and the Patriots?
It's the Seahawks and the Patriots.
New England, yes.
Well,
oh, wait, am I not supposed to root for New England?
You can if you want to, but it's a rematch of 2011 when the Patriots, and for Seahawks fans, no, it was the interception at the one-yard line that sealed the game for the Patriots to win the championship that year ahead of the Seahawks. So instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch, you know, that's what everyone wants to talk about.
Marshawn, he and I go way back.
Way, way back. The other one, actually, my mom sent this to me a couple of weeks ago. The Seahawks, and I'm trying to find it right now, it's because it's a meme. Do the Seahawks have the Catholic Church behind them? In 2025, we had a new pope named.
Right.
And
Pope
the
Leo.
Seahawks won 14 games and have advanced to the Super Bowl.
Okay,
you go back a few years, and the last time that there was a pope named, which I believe was, now I'm going to forget the year, but the
Francis?
Was that Francis? So
I don't know. When was the last time the Seahawks won?
Well, that's when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, was the last time we had a pope. And the time.
Oh, what year was?
I'm trying to find the year here.
Oh, okay, because I can probably tell you the pope if you can tell me the year.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to get it.
It was Pope Innocent back in 462.
That's right.
Oh, no. Too far back.
Okay. So it was 2013 is when the Pope was elected.
That would have been Francis.
And the Seahawks won 13 games that year and won the Super Bowl. And then in 2005, the Pope was elected.
Benedict.
The Seahawks won 13 games and advanced to the Super Bowl. So, okay. So three of the four times the Seahawks have been in the Super Bowl coincide with a new Pope election. So
okay, and I may have my Pope timeline wrong, but I think I'm right on that.
I think you are.
Okay,
too.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I think maybe you're onto something.
That's right. And I sit here and go, is the Pope really? Because the new one's from Chicago, and the Bears got eliminated a couple weeks ago. So But it will be a fun week in 2 weeks for the Super Bowl, Seahawks, New England Patriots.
Interesting. All right. Well, also today is National Spouse Day, so we gotta be nice to our spouses because spouses are a good thing.
Butter them up for Valentine's Day, right?
Absolutely. Make sure they make reservations for Yuri's, and it is International Sous Vide Day, so I'm assuming that they've got a little sous vide action going on over at Yuri's because I don't know how you. Or at Cheers, rather. I don't know how you get that scale of cooking meat when you don't have a... You got to have that sous vide.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Of course, it's also National Bubble Wrap Day. So, there's your safety net right there. Just wrap it.
For all of us with ADHD, it's like you got to pop the bubble wrap. Pop the bubble wrap. And I know Warren talked about this morning, National Peanut Brittle Day. I have a little too much dental work for peanut brittle. It always sticks to my teeth there. So I'm gonna pass on that.
I'm not a big peanut brittle eater. I have a thing. I like plain old peanut butter, but I'm not a big fan of it anything else.
You mean you don't like Reese's peanut butter cups?
No, I'm not a Reese's.
What?
I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me. My kids tell me there is, but they enjoy it because it means whenever Reese's pop up in our house, they get extra.
I need a moment here. Let's go ahead and take a break so I can collect myself. I don't know what I'm going to do with that information, yeah. Hunter. All right, I'm going to take a break. We're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and your local Bi-Mart.
That's right. The new savings book is out.
Yeah, you better pick that up. And Lucky Number Tuesday tomorrow.
Yep.
And of course, we'll remind you of that.
We will. Tomorrow's also Real Estate Insights, and so we'll definitely want to mention that at the top of the hour before we dive into all things real estate with the one and only Amy McLeod. Okay, big news today. Big news, I guess. It is kind of big news.
Well, it's tall news. Tall news.
It's tall. There you go.
Tall news.
It's tall news. And I am over the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup thing.
Okay. We're good. We can continue the show?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Phew, I was a little worried you were going to walk out and be done.
I know. I can't. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can trust somebody who doesn't like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Big news today, Chris Dudley has announced his campaign for Oregon governor. He's calling for unity and solutions. I watched he put a video out. If you recall, Chris Dudley ran 16 years ago in the primary against John Kitzhaber after Ted Kulongoski, Sleepy Ted, Silent Ted, whatever he was, anyway, dropped out. He came probably the closest, I think, to any Republican has in recent memory. And then, of course, I remember we all went to bed and thought, yeah, we got this. And, oh, wow, woke up and no.
Well, that sounds like typical Oregon, you know, go to sleep with one thought and come out the other side and realize that everything went sideways. For anybody that's not aware, Chris Dudley, former NBA basketball player, played for the Portland Trail Blazers, ran in 2010, and he was actually one of the people early on being rumored quite a bit. His name was being tossed around very early on. I believe at the time, Danielle Bethel was the only person who had officially filed. And now it has come to fruition. I believe that brings the known group to about seven, if I'm counting right.
I think that I see a lot of other names coming out there, but I don't know. And I was kind of going on what was officially put out there. So Dudley was decidedly a moderate. Mm-hmm. He's a moderate Republican. He ran as a moderate. And there's, two schools of thought. There's one that, you need a hard line, hard, staunch conservative to provide a real contrast to the wackadoo liberal leftist. Mm-hmm. Again, we have to make that distinction. Liberal and leftist are two different things. Kotek is a leftist. And then the other one is a hardline conservative can never win in Oregon, so you need a moderate. Now, I remember Newt Bueller was a pro-choice Republican moderate. You had the people out there, and now this is a conversation we need to have because it's already starting. A tweet out there from Pacific Northwest Working Mom. This is why Oregonians can't win. It's because of Penny. And this woman named Penny tweeted on the Fox News, "Sorry, Chris. No way I'll ever vote for a pro-abortion candidate, even if he's an R."
So by not voting for a Republican simply because they are pro-choice, what you are saying is you would rather have a Democrat in office who is literally willing to come and help you with your abortion at that point.
I get the sentiment. And again, somebody commented that this individual is an older person who's voting their conscience. I get voting your conscience. I get it. I am pro-life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to vote for a pro-abortion candidate. I would, you know, but the other side of it is if you don't, and if you get, is Kotek better? Was Governor Brown better? Were all of these, you know, was Kitzhaber better? Were they better? There is something about moving the ball down the field. There's not a lot of legislation in the state of Oregon that Dudley as mayor or anybody else who comes out as a pro-choice mayor, a governor, is going to have an effect on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I get the sentiment, but the other side of it is, and I tweeted out here, it's frustrating beyond words. It's the pennies of Oregon why we got Brown and Kotek, because of this purity test. And for me, it's like, shame on you for condemning your fellow Oregonians to tyrannical government because you can't grasp incremental change.
So when it comes to penny, I will sit here and say, vote your conscience in the primaries every day. Please do.
Absolutely.
But once we have our candidate that is going to be going up against Tina Kotek, we need every vote out there to vote for the Republican candidate so that we can actually have a change and see if maybe we can go in the right direction. When it comes to the abortion argument in Oregon, I sit there and go, you find me one statewide Republican that can have any power over abortion in the state of Oregon as it currently stands, whether it's governor, whether it's somebody in the House or Senate, none of them are going to change the way Oregon's abortion laws are currently presented until massive Republican change happens.
Exactly. And to do that, you have to get Republicans elected. You can move a Republican.
Well, I sit here.
You cannot move a leftist, communist, Marxist, socialist, progressive.
Because they're part of the groupthink and they have their agenda and they're not going to sway from it, even if they tell you they will, in order to get elected. But I just sit here and I go, imagine if in 2010 we had Chris Dudley elected as governor and we see the positive changes in Oregon over the last 16 years that we haven't seen with Brown or Kotek. Now, let's say the economy is better. Let's say that the violence and the homelessness and the drug addicts are better. Well, guess what? Now you're going to encourage more people to vote for the Republicans because they see that the Republican, even if they are, you know, pro-abortion, are making a difference.
Right. Ugh. I know. It's really frustrating. There was another response to this tweet. It was, Penny, is it that typically senior that votes what she thinks is best for her in her final days rather than what she's leaving behind for her kids and grandkids to clean up?
Well,
this one, we go through this every cycle, unless, you know, and again, it's that, do you need a moderate who can appeal to more suburban voters? You know, you're going to get rural and you're going to get Eastern Oregon. You're going to get a lot of those with a conservative candidate. You're not going to get the I-5 corridor. You're not going to necessarily get suburban. It's just, it's frustrating that here we are again, because you're right. This doesn't stay in the primary. In the primary, and I'm staunchly, vote whoever you want. Mm-hmm. God bless you. Vote for whoever you want. But once that primary is over, if it is Chris Dudley, if that is the candidate going forward, my hunch is that this Penny and those like her will just sit it out.
Well, yeah. And
then you don't win.
Well, the reality is what are the odds? You know, it's a 75% chance that Penny's sitting out the primary as well, because that's the rate that we tend to get in these primaries. Only about 20 to 25% of the people actually vote in these things more often than not. So I encourage everyone to go out, and if you're not registered for a party, pick a party. Get registered so you can actually vote on who potentially represents that party come election day. And vote in May, and then, you know, pick your best candidate and vote in November.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the thing is with the abortion is a very hot button issue, but it isn't really on the table in the election. The economy, you've got everything that's spiraling down. I mean, the doom spiral in Oregon, to be able to wrest that out of the control of Democrats, you're going to have to compromise a little. And I get, don't compromise on life issues and things like that. This is a hard one. And this one drives me crazy because that's more of a feelings, and you've got to look at the facts on the table. Who can win? Mm-hmm. And who will appeal? And the bottom line is, if you look at the demographics, even a lot of maybe Republicans in Oregon are a little more pro-choice. I don't know. I would want to dig deeper into the numbers. But taking that hardline stance like that is why Republicans don't win.
Well, to me, it's real simple. Take a look in your daily life and go, what are my biggest concerns here in Oregon? Is abortion your number one concern? That's one aspect, but mm-hmm. realistically, driving around, seeing graffiti everywhere, mm-hmm. knowing that there's crime, knowing that there's homeless, knowing that there's drug addiction, knowing that the economy is going down, that we're paying higher gases than almost every other state, knowing that businesses are leaving the state left and right, and people with it. And I'm just going, those are a lot more concerning elements to me than the abortion argument, which unfortunately in Oregon, we cannot. We can't change it as things currently stand.
Yeah, and it's a topic that both sides use to really kind of get people riled up. But the bottom line is, I think the biggest voting block in the state of Oregon is non-affiliates or independents. And they're not as strongly conservative as a strong conservative. And so that if the abortion issue is in the mix there, you're probably not going to get them. And a Republican needs them. So again, I look at it as incremental change, moving the ball down the field a little bit, doing the best. Because you're right. If we had 16 years to look back on Dudley as governor, how different would things have been in the broader scope of things, including abortion laws, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. It's like right now the Democrats have a supermajority and they control the governor's seat, and there's nothing Republicans can do. If we had even had, an inkling of a Republican, even if Dudley had been a one-term governor in 2010, at least we could know where we stand, and you could feel that there may be a little more power on the conservative side in this state if that had occurred. I mean, we have not had a Republican governor in 30 years.
Yeah.
And look at what's going on around us and look at the way things are going. And I just sit here and go, I understand the passion behind it, but at the same time, you got to think long term.
Right. And strategically, I get the personal feelings. I get that we have those things that we're passionate about. But if you're voting like that way, and again, I don't know how old this woman is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. She may be my age, and I'm considered I'm way past middle age now. But if you look at the long-term picture, and then strategically, if you hope to change these things, you don't just do it overnight. And just electing somebody a Republican isn't going to change that overnight. Mm-hmm. But certainly electing someone who's a Democrat and already proven where they stand isn't going to make it better.
No. Remember, they literally bring the problems and then tell you how they're going to fix it. I mean, there's no going back on it.
They cause the problems.
Exactly. They bring the problems, then they tell you how they're going to fix it. And the other part of all of this we have to recognize is the way the news media handles Republican candidates versus Democrat candidates, because you can almost guarantee that every news interview they do with a K2 or a Fox 12 or anything else, the abortion question is going to come up. And the reality is it's a worthless question in the state until the Republicans have complete power.
Right.
But yet we're going to hear about it constantly throughout this process.
And I'm hoping that whomever makes it through, because I'm sure it'll come up in the primary as well, but whomever makes it through to the other side of the primary and then becomes the candidate is skilled enough at sort of, reframing the question. Don't buy the premise, reject the premise.
Yeah, exactly. Being able to sit there and say, okay, well, my personal feelings aren't going to influence what's going on in Oregon the way things are set up. It is literally in the Oregon Constitution.
Yeah, now let's talk about the homeless crisis, and let's talk about all the people on the street and the needles and the poop and the crime and, the high taxes
and
the doom spiral and everybody leaving the state. Let's talk about that, because those resonate with everybody.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what we need to do. We need a Republican candidate that can resonate with everybody on what's affecting us day to day and being able to put what doesn't affect us day to day on the back burner.
Yeah. So real quick, I know we're running out of time on this segment. I asked ChatGPT over the weekend if a Republican can win the governor's race. Again, ChatGPT is just a tool. I'm going to take it out as gospel fact. No. So and the short answer was yes, but it's an uphill crime. And it kind of went through. It said realistic odds. This was before Dudley. I did this over the weekend before Dudley jumped in. Realistic odds, according to ChatGPT, baseline 20-30% GOP chance. If there's a strong national GOP environment, 35-45. If the suburbs swing and the GOP runs a disciplined candidate, ChatGPT is saying it's 50-50. So then I went down and updated it, and I, who's the strongest ones, and it has Drazen on top. as the strongest one, proven that she's proven, blah, blah, blah. Talks about Danielle Bethel is a local executive. These are ones to currently watch, but they're kind of long shots. Same thing with that deal. The bottom line, according to ChatGPT, is Drazen is the best shot today. But then you updated, and let me wander down here. I asked it, well, Chris Dudley has entered the race, ChatGPT. What do we think? And Chris Dudley entering the race absolutely changes the Republican landscape in Oregon. It doesn't guarantee a GOP win, but it dramatically reshapes the primary and improves Republicans' general election vitality. And ChatGPT thinks that in the primary, it really is down between Drazen and Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
You know, I can see that. I hope not. I think we have a couple of other really good candidates. I understand why it's putting Drazen in the top spot. She ran, you know, 4 years ago.
It's name recognition.
And Dudley has the name recognition being a former NBA player, Portland Trailblazer. And he probably has a little even more name recognition in, you know, Portland Metro than Ed Deal or Danielle Bethel. So, you know, it's an uphill climb. There's still a lot of time to go. But come May, vote for that candidate that you think will serve us the best, because it is a wide open race up until those votes are counted.
It is going to be a spicy primary. I am so in for this. It's going to be fascinating primary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be very, very eye-opening, I think, in a lot of ways. And to see what Oregon wants, and especially with this audit that should remove 800,000 names from our voter rolls. How's it all going to shake out at the end of the day? Because it's going to be worth watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be amazing. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news. Lots more to talk about on the other side of the break. So come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, y'all. Gosh, so many people, myself included, have been watching the precious metals markets because silver, holy crimoli. And just before we went on, silver was sitting at 113 an ounce. Oh, and then gold, we have now got $5,000 an ounce gold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
wouldn't it be nice to be on the gold standard?
Yeah, it would, because, I mean, well, that's all great. And everyone's like, ooh, oh, I've been stacking silver and woohoo. And it's like, yeah, but you know what that means for the dollar. And I would definitely, Carol Roth is a great one. Go out and look at her. She's got a Twitter thread on this, because it feels like, oh, yay, that's a great thing. But it means the dollar is down, 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 down. And it feels very precarious. And it every I refresh my precious metals app, and it's like, and it's up, and it's up, and it's up. And then it drops a little bit. And it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. We are in some unprecedented times when it comes to the precious metals market. So, I wouldn't, cash out thinking you're going to be a millionaire quite yet, but I would ride it out a little longer.
Honestly, really, if you need the money, okay. Otherwise, hold. Because it's gonna continue. Silver especially, I think we could see it going crazy. And again, it's really not an investment. It's a hedge. It's a protection. So you don't necessarily, yay, it's worth this. Yeah, but it's worth that in dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking dollars. Anyway, it's crazy. It's been crazy watching that. Okay, so I got this. A lot of people were talking about this this chart that we've got. The number of violent confrontations with ICE per county. So this is protesters, journalists, bystanders, officers, U.S. citizens, all counties with four or more violent confrontations. It's just nine counties in the entire country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nine counties make up 63%. Of the violent interactions between ICE and people.
And what do they all have in common?
Democrat-controlled sanctuary. Let's see what else. Vocal anti-Trump leadership. Not willing to work.
They are not cooperating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, and you know, you hear the narrative, well, ICE is so, they're all, you know, thugs and they're not trained very well. You don't see this stuff happening in cities and states that are cooperating. In fact, you don't hear about it at all.
Yeah. And these include a number of Democrat cities in states. I mean, that's the thing. We got California, we got Oregon, Washington, Denver, Colorado, Newark in New York City, Chicago in Minnesota.
Yeah. So Minneapolis has, and this breaks down, Los Angeles had 25 instances, Minneapolis 21, Chicago 28, Newark, New York City 12, Denver 4, San Francisco 6, Portland 6, and Seattle 4. And again, sanctuary city mayors, they're 590 times more likely. This is a county among the top nine, is 590 times more likely to have a violent confrontation with ICE than any other of the other 3,134 counties.
Yeah, 3,134 counties that aren't having these kind of interactions compared to nine that are having them regularly.
Yeah. And you know, dare I say, they are these mayors are not out there trying to quell dissent. They're not trying to quiet things down. And in the case of probably Jacob Fry and a lot of them, you know, they're actively pouring gasoline on the situation.
Yeah. And that's where we need to kind of wake up as people that live in these communities. We need to recognize that a lot of people are being played as pawns and they don't care about your life. They're literally sending you out to try and have something bad happen to you by interacting and try and quell, you know, what ICE activities are happening.
Yeah. And of course, we've all been watching what happened over the weekend with the instance with the guy who and it's a fluid situation because there's many video angles. With the Renee Good thing, it was, once you saw the video, it seemed pretty clear cut what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a little bit different and everybody's got their hot take. I don't want to do that. There's more information that's got to come out on this. But the one thing that's starting to bother me is, I mean, the guy was armed. He was a legal concealed carry. And they're trying to somehow say that that's not okay. I think Cash Patel even came out. And I'm like, no, dude, no.
Mm-hmm.
He had every right to do that. He had a right to carry there. Everything else that happened after that, again, I'm not going to comment on that. But did he, as a legal concealed carry holder in the state of Minnesota, have a right to do that? By my read, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the smartest idea? I don't know. And again, all the other stuff, and I've seen the videos from all the angles, and I'm not going to comment on that.
Yeah.
But
I am a little disappointed in the official hot takes coming out of DC. To me, they need to be better than that and come out, because virtually they came out with their initial hot take, Kristi Noem did, and it's been debunked so badly that every other aspect of what she had to say gets thrown out with the bathwater, because the guy obviously did not come at ICE officials, federal officers, with his gun drawn.
Yeah. And was he disarmed? Was he not? There's this angle and that angle. And I don't want to get into that. The bottom line, I thought Dana Loesch had a good tweet on this. She's very staunchly, she said, I'm not taking a single lecture on Minnesota from anyone who before this weekend promoted policies that would have made a felon out of Preddy for the very sidearm he was carrying. And I think we need to be careful on that. I've been to many protests at different places at Capitol buildings and was always armed. I would have my concealed carry permit a lot of times in a pouch in front of me so that it was easily visible. Let's just be careful over there. The rest of it, as it all comes out, and again, AI, man, is screwing things up because there's weird videos that are coming out and it's getting really, really, really hard to tell. The bottom line is, when law enforcement tells you to do something, comply. And that's not happening in these cities. These mm-hmm. people are being, they're being encouraged, they're being whipped up to go out and confront ICE or other law enforcement. And again, also lumping, you know, demonizing ICE. Well, that spreads out to all law enforcement, because some yahoo out on the street who's been whipped into a frenzy isn't going to necessarily tell the difference between a county sheriff's deputy, a police officer, a municipal police officer, ICE, border patrol. This is so stinking dangerous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's some of the rhetoric coming out of the leadership in Minnesota, and even some of the national Democrat leaders are literally pushing this idea that ICE is a bunch of untrained animals that are just let loose on the cities. And I'm sitting here kind of going, you know, bottom line is even the things I have seen, you know, if you talk to somebody with any kind of police training, they're following training. And I go back to the George Floyd instance, the move that was done to subdue George Floyd was a trained maneuver in the Minnesota Police Department. And, you know, we can relitigate that whole scenario over and over again. It's not worth it. But the fact is these are trained officers. And when you have the mayor and the governor of the state and even former presidents coming out saying they're not, they're untrained, now you're promoting people in the name of justice becoming vigilantes after them.
Yeah, yeah. There's another Andrew Kolovit, who's TPUSA, and this kind of goes to it again. Everyone arguing whether or not the guy was grabbing for his gun is missing the point. He should not have been there harassing and obstructing. He should not have resisted knowing he was armed. This is why the first thing you do if a cop pulls you over is you tell him that you're armed, and you learn all that when you're taking your classes for concealed carry. And the other side of it is, okay, first of all, these are not protests. Can we stop with that nonsense? These have long passed protests. The whistle blowing, anytime you try to watch one of these videos, it's ear splitting with the damn whistles that they're blowing all the time. So you've got super high adrenaline. You've got mobs of people that out there actively hate you and want to hurt you. They are out there trying to do their job as professionally as they can in the most god awful circumstances of ever. So is there going to be high adrenaline, high stress? Are mistakes going to be made? Probably.
So my understanding in the post of this event on Saturday morning was the feds had the area blocked off to do their investigation. And within moments, over 200 people assembled at the outskirts of this crime scene to harass and throw and whatever else. And when the feds pulled out, local officials couldn't even get in there. They literally withdrew every bit of police force because the crowd was so unruly when it came to any police officer, not just ICE.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you look at that, and when you watch those videos, and again, you've got these people. And then when you have the governor of Minnesota saying, having his law enforcement, his state of Minnesota, stand down. There was that video that was out of the one guy trying to guard the hotel, and this mob is coming at him. And I think he asked the desk clerk, where's Minneapolis PD? Not coming. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is just this toxic stew. So I guess Trump has been talking with walls, and I don't know. Again, it's very fluid and it changes. Literally, you can refresh your X feed and there's a new development out there. It's fluid. And
I'm going to point out something that I saw over the weekend, a couple of commercials for recruiting for the Seattle Police Department.
Okay.
And I sit here and I go, and I wonder why they're needing to do a large-scale recruitment effort now that they have their progressive socialist mayor leading Seattle. And I go, how many officers, when she got elected, said, no, thank you, I'm done here now?
Oh, Katie?
Yes.
Speaking of Katie, real quick before we go to break, this story was very concerning. Como News was reporting this, and I don't remember the city. I'll look it up, but it was somewhere up there. Seattle area.
It was Pierce County.
I think it's Pierce County,
which is the Tacoma area.
Tacoma, yeah. It's just above Thurston County, which is Olympia. Como News reporting a man and his dog were stabbed. Somebody approached him and asked him what his religion was. He said Christian, and the dude stabbed him and his dog. Mm-hmm. So, and we're seeing a lot of that. Of course, you saw the horror that happened in the church, and the more that comes out about what actually happened at that church in Minneapolis, that will set your hair on fire. That was absolutely horrific, which is, again, why all these churches, you need to have security plans in there. And men, defend your women and children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just the fallout from that thus far. They'd have made the three arrests.
Yeah.
And it sounds like
But two
judges,
of them have been released already.
Yeah. And it sounds like the judge is holding up other arrests for, in particular,
arrest the judge.
Don Lemon.
Don Lemon. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
I need me some gabagool today. I got a little agita going on here.
That might be very comforting to enjoy.
Wouldn't it? A nice big wedge from Cozy's. All right. Real quick, want to mention that in case you didn't hear it last week, we are now on all the major streaming sites, Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, all of them. You can follow us out there. And if you do, please follow us. Please give us a 5-star rating. Mm-hmm. It helps the algorithm. You can also reach us at newsmakers@kykn.com if you have a tip or you want to share anything with us. If you know me personally or Hunter personally, we're checking our messages and our texts and our messenger all during the show. So we If we get a chance to see it and we have time, we will mention it or dig deeper into it. Okay, there was a story that came out. Salem Kaiser Schools will lose thousands of students over the next 4 years. They've consistently had around 40,000 students since 2011. So the potential is to drop to 32,000 by 2030. And this is clearly a reflection of people going, yeah, we're not interested in what you're offering here. Even though our tax dollars are paying for this, we're not getting a great product.
Yeah, and I just sit here and I go, if you've dealt with the school district, you can understand where that's coming from. Because, again, you know, we talk about them just kind of re-upping the same sanctuary, you know, things that they love to use, they love to do with the DEI, they love to, you know, their priorities are not educating our students at this point. And yeah. Until it is, yeah, they're going to consistently lose people. And, you know, I'm not be the least surprised if they're actually well on their way and they just are kind of over-reporting numbers.
Oh, I know. I mean, I've said, too, if I had kids that were school age, they would not be attending Salem Kaiser Public Schools. No way, no way. And then I got an article about one of the board members, Iron Patriot, I think I sent it to you, talking about, I mean, the Democrat socialist, this woman doesn't, she has never stood for the Pledge of Allegiance, and she's clearly her allegiance are elsewhere. I'll happy to share that with you if you want. If you want to email me at newsmakers@kykn.com, I'll send you the link. So just got this through our messages about a message to coaches.
Yeah, this is a message going out to high school coaches about how to deal with kind of ICE showing up. And I'm kind of going, you show me where ICE is showing up at schools. I mean, that's the thing is you keep hearing about it, but yet every time you actually dig beneath the surface, there was one, I believe, here in Oregon of a high school student who got arrested during lunch break. And you go, when you actually read between the lines, you realize that he actually went out and engaged with trying to stop an ICE action by parking in front of them and blocking them in. That's why he got arrested. The most recent one is this 5-year-old, which when you actually find out what really happened, yes, they approached the father about his illegal status. The father took off running, abandoning the child in the car.
So thank God ICE agents protected this little kid. But again, the narrative has been debunked six ways to Sunday, but the left is out there still promoting it. So this thing to coaches.
Yeah, so virtually it's a refresher that ICE agents aren't permitted to detain students or investigate district personnel without valid judicial warrant on school grounds or in school-sanctioned events. Oregon's a sanctuary state with state laws protection for public school campuses and students. And then they give you a number to, you know, they've given the coaches numbers and pretty much told them don't engage, but don't let them, you know, do their job.
Yeah. Stand in the way and obstruct them. And they're talking about, you know, thanks for your continued commitment to student safety. And we see what happens when these people get in the way. It's anything but safe.
Yeah.
I just think this is a highly irresponsible message, but whatever. Well, it's par for the course.
That can bring us up to the city of Beaverton, Oregon.
Oh, yes.
Who has passed a new ordinance codifying their Sanctuary Promise Act. And this one is making national news. It has reached a few of the large, you know, social media influencers pointing out that Beaverton School District is literally actively encouraging, you know, going against federal officers once again.
Well, libs of TikTok got a hold of this, breaking the city of Beaverton passed a new ordinance codifying their Sanctuary Promise Acts. Again, codifying means it's already there. It was already there. So, you know, another meeting that was taken up by this. Hello, City of Salem. What this does, it includes the following. It prohibits ICE from using city property. It prohibits the city from providing any information to ICE for immigration enforcement. Prevents the city from holding illegals in custody. Even if they have an ICE detainer hold, prohibits city staff from collecting info on immigration status, trains city staff on how to report ICE agent. This is so upside down, bizarro world. Because again, when we talked about that chart about the nine cities that all the problems are in, the ones that are cooperating, and again, they're getting criminals that people that have long records. There was that video of the one ICE agent. It's a child sex offender. That's who you're protecting. This is insane. Well, there you go, Beaverton.
Yep. And that, to me, that's the biggest problem with all of this is we're not looking at the reality of the situation. And if this was, you know, Beaverton Police Department going after a white guy who was a sex offender, they'd be okay with that. That's what they want. But because it's an illegal immigrant in a similar scenario, that's the things they don't want. And I'm just going, so that is as bizarre as it gets to me. It sounds like the crime is a crime, no matter the background and the ethnicity of the person committing the crime.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now you've got your municipal government in these smaller cities, and, you know, I don't know what the numbers are in Beaverton. My understanding is Hillsborough has got it a lot worse, but you've seen that leftward shift in local governments. I mean, we won't talk about the former mayor of Beaverton, but this individual is clearly on the left side of the aisle. So we'll see how that goes. But again, and we look at those numbers, the data tells the story.
Yeah. And I'm just going, there is some very leftist cities that when they have a violent criminal in their possession, they're handing them over to ICE.
Because you take care of that in the jail so it doesn't spill out into your neighborhood. What's really disturbing to me about what's going on in Minneapolis is, you know, depending on your street, just make, envision that that's your street in Salem. Mm-hmm. And they're putting up a Chaz on your street in Salem. So you can't get in and out. Remember all the neighbors in the Capitol Hill mm-hmm. Autonomous? It was CHOP, and they couldn't, they wouldn't let them out. There was a lot of apartments in there. Well, the same thing is happening, and you've got these creeps, very violent. And again, this is not a protest. We're way past that.
Yeah, and well, and there's only really one thing for the average Joe Schmo that can start to change the direction of your local government, and that's to vote. And we need to keep pushing that message out here for the next few months that May is our primary. Vote. City council determined in the primary.
Well, then what I love, if you're a Republican, because Oregon has partisan, you have to be a Republican or a Democrat to vote in each of the primaries. But because of all the people that are in there with Chris Dudley jumping in, and it's got a lot of attention, I know David Medina has kind of a national platform on his podcast and his YouTube channel. So I think there's going to be some more attention, which, like, it bodes well for people being interested enough to vote and then vote down ballot on those city races.
And that
so
is,
that's a good thing.
And that's and if you don't want to register for a party, you can you still vote on the city councilors. You don't, you know, you won't have the option to vote for a Republican or Democrat governor, but you can still vote, and we need you to vote.
Yes.
Because
and
we
and
need
regardless
to,
of the ward you're in, the mayor will be on your ballot.
Yep, and we need to shift the direction of Salem and get us to more of a level-headed, let's fix some problems rather than just kind of milk them along.
Yeah. And again, Portland is sort of ground zero, was anyway, back in 2020. Now, obviously, it is a minute. And I can't believe these people are out there. It's like negative 17 over there, and they're out there. Did you see the woman who decided to grab a flashbang with her bare hands?
Well, I just sit here. Well, it's the same as, you know, 2020, when, you know, we were told you can't spend time with your family, no more than six people at your Thanksgiving dinner, unless you're going out to riot. Then you can gather in as many numbers as you'd like, because COVID takes the day off at that point.
Totally fine.
It's the elements and the things going on in the world all take a back seat when you want to go out and create chaos, I guess is the easiest way to put it.
Well, I think 2020, I mean, again, we're only on the 26th day of January in the year of our Lord 2026, and we are already in this. And it's like, yes, every day the hell is very, very fresh.
Yeah.
It's very fresh hell.
There's a lot of show content come Monday mornings. Let's put it that way. We need some calm.
We do. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about real estate, and so it'll be interesting to get the latest trends and what's going on with that, because that's kind of the interest rates and stuff. So mm-hmm. you'll definitely want to tune in for that. Well, that is it for us today. You guys go out. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.